missed you, sweetheart. It's so good to see you. Yay. Oh. Hi. Welcome. I love you guys, and I know that... Oh, and another one. Oh, hi. What's your name? Jenny. Hi, Jenny. Everybody say hi, Jenny. Welcome to the family. People go, do you have some kind of thing you have to go through to be a part of the church? Yeah, show up. That's it. We love you. We'll take you. Okay, so today I am going to try to do my best to do this. It's so important. This message is so important for everyone's life, like Eric said. There are so many things that the Bible has to share with us, but this is one of my favorite things because it is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of people do not understand why this third person of the Trinity is so important in our life, or how he acts or what he can do to change our lives, and how we are to desire him and not be afraid of him. He's not, you know, a spooky ghost creature that we, you know, he comes to torment. He comes to set us free. And so I want to teach you today, and it's hard for me to teach because I just want to prophesy and show what he does, but I'm going to try because I think you need to know this. We're coming into Labor Day, and as we said, we're going to have a water baptism, but I believe if you understand what I'm teaching today, and if you understand what Eric taught last week, when you get water baptized, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. So even if you have been water baptized and you don't have the Spirit, I mean, you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit today, or you could get baptized in the Spirit when you go under the water. But one way or the other, if you come to this church long enough, you're going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me just declare that over your life right now. Okay, so last week when Eric was talking about water baptism, one of the things that really struck my heart was when he said that it is an announcement to the whole world that you got a brand new start, right? And it is. It's an announcement to the whole world. But I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit, when the Father, God, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, they're all one. But when he comes to reside on the inside of you, he's giving you a brand new start. It's like a reset button. And so I'm going to explain this as we go along. So in the Old Testament, the men of God, men and women of God, that were moved on by the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when he came upon them, they did mighty great feats. But it wasn't inside of them. The Holy Spirit was outside of them, and he would come upon them. And so as Jesus was getting ready to leave, he was explaining to his disciples that everything is going to be different, and he was going to give them a brand new start. And he knew that they were going to have what he operated in order for them to change the world. How many of you know Jesus, when he left, he left. But he left men in charge of what was going to happen to continue on, and here we are today. But he knew they could not do that without additional strength and without additional power. And so he said to them in John 14:17, he said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you." So now when Jesus was creating disciples, and when he had called them, he called their name. He just said, "Hey, follow me." And all of a sudden, they got up and they just started following him. That was a supernatural event because they weren't just words. They were not just being, "Hey, you come over here and go with somebody you don't even know." He was showing up with power. And when he called their name and said, "Follow me," it was like power of God went out to them and gathered them unto himself. And they couldn't help but follow him. And so Jesus said to his, he said, then he trained them. He sent them out. Do you remember he sent them out? He laid hands on them. He sent them out and he said, you're going to lay hands on the sick and you're going to get people healed and delivered. And they did. And they came back so excited. They were so excited that the Holy Spirit was with them to enable them to do this. But now there's going to be a shift and what is about to happen so that the whole world can benefit. And so he said, he will be in you, not operating beside you, in you. Look at somebody say, in you. Yeah. Okay, so, and John 16:7, I always laugh when I read this scripture because I think it's so hilarious. How Jesus said it. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. He goes, you don't even understand. They were all mourning that he was going to leave them and go back to heaven. But he's like, you don't understand. I have to go away. Because if I don't go away, then the helper won't come to you. He's like, you need the third person now to show up. You need the expression of who we are on the inside of you. And he said, if I go, then I'm going to send him to you. So he's saying, you don't understand this right now because you're counting on me in physical form. You're walking with me. You're talking with me. You are with me and you see me and you can feel the power around me and you're getting the overflow of it. But when I go, Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is now not just going to be around you so they can feel him around. He's going to come and he's going to dwell in you. Wow. Okay. So there are so many wonderful reasons that we want this, but one of the things you have to know is that this is not a suggestion by Jesus. This is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. I think that many people in the body of Christ, they think the Holy Spirit is messy. Like what the Holy Spirit does, they can't understand. They can't control the Holy Spirit. So they don't want to let him have his way because he demands that you surrender to him. And so they just like leave him outside the door. And they don't want to embrace the gifts of the Spirit. They don't want to have to clean up any messes if somebody doesn't know how to respond properly. So they just leave him out because, you know, they're trying to reach what people. How are you going to reach people without the Holy Ghost? I don't even understand that. Jesus didn't reach people without the Holy Ghost. None of the disciples reach people without the Holy Ghost. What makes us think we're so special? We're gonna reach anybody without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit of God. And he's living inside of me, empowering me to obey him and to make a difference in the world. And without him, what am I going to do? Come up with my own ideas? I have come up with some of my own ideas. That didn't work out real well. So I need his thoughts. And if he's living inside of me, I will have his thoughts. Amen? Okay, so Luke 24:49. I'm laying the scriptural references out for you. Jesus is speaking again. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Why? Until you are endued with power from on high. Now he's saying the third person of the Trinity is now, I'm shifting, I'm going back to heaven, but the third person of the Trinity is now coming from heaven, and he's going to reside on this earth inside of you. Okay. So is it supernatural? Absolutely. Okay, Acts 1:4-5. So, being assembled together with them, this is Jesus again, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John baptized with water. That was the baptism of repentance, okay? But now you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, he said, this is so important to you because this is what's going to happen to you. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. Say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That means where they were right then. They were going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, to Judea, which they were familiar to going there, to Samaria, which they didn't want to go to. Okay? And to the ends of the earth. He said, here's what's going to happen. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, everybody, no matter whether you like to go where you're going to go or whether you don't like to go where you're going to go, you're going to have the power and the empowerment of him to push past the resistance of choosing your own way and doing things my way so that the whole world can know me. Amen? How many of you want to get somebody saved and out of hell and into heaven? Right? Wait, how many people want to get people out of hell and into heaven? Oh my goodness. Woo! All right. So that is why we're Christians, you know? So, okay. So he said, this is how you're going to do it. This is what's going to happen. And so everywhere, you're going to be all out. You're going to be all out. You have to go all out. Okay. So then they returned to Jerusalem, and the disciples believed the words that Jesus said. So They listened to what he said. They went, this is Acts 1, starting in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, all of them. And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So now here's what has happened. Not just the disciples, but the people who believed what the Lord had said, they continued not just with prayer, but with supplications. That meant with heartfelt crying out, waiting upon expectancy. They were basically saying, I believe what you said and I really need it. Now, they knew that they in their own strength could never do what Jesus told them they were supposed to do. And so they were desperate people. The same kind of desperate that we need to be. Now, they knew that there was a whole world of, you know, people out there that wanted to kill them. Christians were not loved. Christians were not accepted. They knew that they could die any day. And you know, they were human. And so they were like, okay, he said we'd be empowered, and I have to be empowered to overcome this fear of losing my life. I have to be empowered in order to touch the hearts that I'm supposed to touch and prove to them that serving Jesus, even if it costs your life, is worth it. And how will I do this if I can't believe it? And the only way you're going to believe it is when he makes it so real to you that you can't live without him, but with him you can do all things. Because it's not you doing it anyway, it's him doing it through you. Amen? Okay, so they went and they continued in one accord in prayer. How many of you know just getting a bunch of people in one accord is a miracle? You know? So that was the first miracle after Jesus left, was that they were in one accord. They all said, we're not going to think about anything else. And some people left because they couldn't wait. They couldn't sit and wait for the Holy Ghost. They're like, okay, I don't know what we're expecting anyway, but, you know, time's a flying, got to go catch a fish. And so they left. And if they're going to leave, if anybody is going to leave because they don't want to experience the Holy Spirit and what he is capable of, then sometimes they have to leave in order for God to have the people who are hungry. In order for God to have the people that are desperate. In order for God to be able to utilize and to come in power on the people who remain. On the people who said, I am not leaving without this blessing. Because it's an experience. It's not something we talk about. It's not just something that people say, well, you know, I have power because of the Holy Spirit. And that's the end. We have to be showing, proving, living, demonstrating the power that he has given us for people to be convinced that he is to be sought after. Amen? Okay. So, there they are. And then, it's amazing how God orchestrates the Old Testament with the New Testament. I never get over how he matched everything, put everything together for us. Because it's during Pentecost. Now, this season of Pentecost is when all of the Jews from all over come into Jerusalem. And it's for the Spring Harvest Festival. And so they call it the Tent of Meetings, but whatever. It's the Spring Harvest Festival. Now, when I was studying this out, I found that originally part of this day was for the people that were coming to bring their first fruit offering to the priests. They were supposed to come and give the best that they had. And that's like Eric talked about that today. Give the best that you have. And so they weren't just coming. It was also to celebrate that they had received the Torah, that they had received from Moses, the Ten Commandments, the Torah. And so they continued that. But at some point, they had forgotten and stepped away from the first fruits being there as presented before the priest and before God. Okay, so God is like, you know what? They're coming back to the first fruit. And I'm going to reset this button because there's something more than just coming to Jerusalem and celebrating what you did experience with the freedom that I brought you. Now you're going to experience freedom. Now this is where you get my first fruit. The first fruit after Jesus leaves is them being able to have him living on the inside of them. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now they are going to experience him indwelling them in such a way that they can exude out of them what Jesus looked like, what the Father feels like, and what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing through them. Are you excited yet? I love this. I want the Holy Spirit all over again. Okay, so it's going to change everything. So here they are in this day of Pentecost, and here they all are in the upper room, and they're all in one accord in one place. And all of a sudden, it says, a sound from heaven came. It wasn't just a regular sound. It was a sound that couldn't be explained any other way except for heaven just showed up. They had never experienced this before. And it came like a rushing, mighty wind. Now, we've seen it in the movies. I think you've seen some of this in the movie. I've played it here for you before. But we can't imagine how they fell. This is the first time this ever happened. And so it says he came as a mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And I'm glad they were sitting because they probably would have gotten knocked over if they weren't sitting. And it said they were appeared upon them different tongues, divided tongues, as a fire. And it sat on each one of them. So they're sitting there and all of a sudden, kaboom, they are on fire. There is something that is happening to them that they can physically feel. There is something that has happened to them that has energized them from the inside. And now they have lost control of themselves. Praise the Lord. Lord, that we would lose control of ourselves and be controlled by you. Amen? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now they began to talk in diverse tongues. And that means this. The Spirit of God, God is so smart that he says this initial empowering is going to be done in such a way that the people from all around all the different areas, they had their own language. And so he said, I am going to have, you know, Paul speak the way that it will get to the Medes. And I'm going to have Peter speak in the way it'll get to the Persians. And so all of a sudden, they begin to speak in these languages that they have never spoken before. And it is such a commotion. I mean, everybody is in the city and they can hear all of these people and it sounds like they're going crazy. And so they hear all of the, but the thing that is setting it apart, that one, people started saying, well, maybe they're drunk. But then they were saying, but listen to what they're saying. They're talking about the goodness of God. They're talking about, in our own language, we hear them talking about God being good. Oh my goodness. Why would they do that? And they knew that they didn't know their language. They're like, these people aren't even, they don't come from where I'm from. They don't know how to talk. What are they doing? They're all of a sudden, they have this supernatural ability to speak in a language they've never spoken before. And it's speaking to us about the wonderful works of God. Oh, so now, the whole place is in like kind of a mess. They're like trying to figure it out with their brains. When you try to figure this out with your brain, you'll be a mess too. And so it takes somebody to set it straight. So Peter, the one who denied Christ, Peter, the one who loved him, Peter, the one who said, oh, everybody else could leave you, but I'll be here for you. That Peter. And then he skirted out away because he wasn't going to get persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. Then he had to go through the whole reconciliation with Jesus because he couldn't forgive himself for being such a dodo bird. And so Jesus says, go get the disciples, but especially Peter. And he calls him into forgiveness. And he restores him. And now this same Peter, who was the chicken, now all of a sudden he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And more than just different words of different languages came out of him. Now he is speaking with endued power that has come from heaven. And he is there to set everything straight. And so all of a sudden, he gets a revelation that he could have never gotten before Holy Spirit indwelling. He could have never gotten before the Holy Spirit was in him to reveal it. Got it? Okay, so he says, Acts 2:15, these people are not drunk as you suppose. Since it is the third hour of the day, he goes, even in the natural, it'd be really hard for us to get drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen? And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. That's what was happening. Now, we just learned that they were in an upper room, and it wasn't just the apostles. It was them, and it was Mary, and it was the women. And so it was male and female. And he said, this is what just happened to all of us. The ones that waited, the ones that were desperate, the ones that wouldn't leave without receiving. It just happened in the upper room on all of us. And that was this that Joel spoke of. And so now there's this manifestation of God showing up. And it's inside of them and it comes out of them. And it says that the result of that, I won't read the whole chapter for you, but you ought to read the book of Acts, but 1 and 2 are really important for your life. Okay, so this is Acts 2:37. And when they heard this, They were cut to the heart. Now, I love this because the only way you're going to change is when the Spirit of God cuts down to your heart and divides between your soul and your spirit. You know, well, why? Because you can't serve God the way you need to serve God. You're going to always be in a funk because you're always going to be trying to do what's right and never being able to do what's right. It's Romans 7 versus Romans 8. It's like, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, Romans 8 says, yes, but those who are led by the Spirit can do what God told them to do. And it's the difference between the two. You can read it and see it and see the change in Paul's life. And so they were cut to the heart because the Spirit was already bringing the difference. He was already dividing between the way they were thinking and the way they were living and the way that they were so selfish and religious. And he's like, they were like, wow, there's something happening on the inside of me. My only desire is to do what is right. And so now all of a sudden, Holy Ghost shows up, bringing it into our time. This is what's wrong, is that people are trying to find fulfillment outside of what God said would bring you fulfillment. You're all thinking about, well, listen, all of us have this problem, but we're getting better. What am I going to do to make myself feel better? What do I want? Where am I going to go? What, you know, who is my mate? What is my destiny? What is my journey? We're always looking for something as though we don't have what we already need. Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't have what you need. But when you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, he said he will go on the inside of you and he will be your comforter and your guide and your teacher and your friend. So like, I want my friend to be the smartest guy on the planet. And since he is the smartest guy on the planet and he lives inside of me, I can do whatever he tells me to do because I'm not doing it alone. Now I'm aware that there is an active ingredient. It's not magic. It's not weird. It's being a Christian with Christ manifesting on the inside of us by the power of Holy Ghost. Oh, we are very fortunate people. You know that all the people in the Old Testament didn't have this? I mean, they called down fire from heaven. They did all these amazing things. But we, the people of God in the New Testament, we get to have him living on the inside of us. Well, how much more should we be doing? Amen. I'd like to call down fire, but since we're under grace, I won't. Okay. Okay. And he said, all these people now, they're hearing it. They're cut to the heart. And they cry out to Peter and the rest of them, men and brethren, what do we do? Like, what do we do? And they are so done with trying to figure it out on their own. All they're crying for is instruction now. They are willing to do whatever it takes. When your life is so immersed in God, when you are so in love with him, when the Spirit of God is the one that is moving through you, speaking through you, enabling you, empowering you, people ought to be saying, I want what you got, and even if it's weird, just tell me how to get it. Because it is weird to the natural man, but it is totally fulfilling to your spirit, man. You're like, that's what I needed. I needed that in order to win. Yeah. Okay. And so Peter said, repent. The starting point is this. You got to hate your sin. Repentance, it doesn't mean just, you know, a shikamo shy prayer that somebody says with you at the end of the service. I mean, it can work, but as far if you mean it. But what he's saying is hate your life of sin. Don't give place to sin anymore. You have to hate it. God will only deliver you of your enemies. He won't deliver you of your friends. And so he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of them. You have to repent first. And then when you go down under that water, you're making a statement that I am no longer the same. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe he's saying that it's supposed to be, it can be an all-in-one ordeal right here. You can have your repentance made real to you. Like, I am a new person. I'm coming out of those waters, and I am brand new. I'm leaving that dead old man in the past. All of my sins, I don't have to think about them anymore. I don't have to be burdened by them anymore. I don't have to worry about them anymore. And you can come up out of the water free, delivered, and speaking in a language you never learned. Amen, because it's the language of the Spirit. Okay, and then he went on to say this, which I love. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but this is one of them. For the promise is to you and your children. Who is he talking to? The ones that are there right then. And to all, say all, who are far off in Davie, Florida, as many as the Lord our God will call. All you have to do is say, I'm called. Right? It's the promise didn't come and go. The promise came and stayed. And it was the promise of the Holy Spirit and his power. Amen? And so the change that was brought was for the people. I mean, like, for one thing, 3,000 souls were added to them. I would love to see 3,000 souls get saved in a day. But those who gladly received his word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, why did God do that? Why did he do that? I mean, why did he make sure that it was recorded that that day 3,000 souls were added to them? Because God was showing you the importance of that impact. He wanted you to know that when this happened, salvations happened, and it was so important. Now they have got a real Spirit-filled church to start the New Testament. It's a big responsibility, but what joy would there be? And so this is what happened. They continued. Say they continued. You know, people who say a prayer and then they kind of meant it, but they kind of didn't. They're like, I'll give you everything, except for the one thing I don't want to give you. You know, the key to living a whole, exciting Christian life is to continue. But you can't just continue. This is one of my worst nightmares. Is that people want to get people saved and empowered, and they don't teach them about how to do it with the right doctrine and with community, and with accountability. If you want to get my hair to stand up, that would be the thing. Because it's one thing in getting people activated. Activation is great. I get people activated. I want you to come to prophetic classes. I want to activate you. I also want to activate your soul to do what is right before the Lord. And I want you to sit under authority that you don't get off into some crazy. And there's a lot of crazy out there. And so it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't steadfastly continue in some Joe's doctrine. They stuck with the people that showed them the way in the first place, that help them get empowered, that helped them divide what the word was talking about, and they sat and they listened and they fellowshipped and they ate together and they prayed together. And if you want to raise up leaders, you need to pray together. Because if you don't know each other by the Spirit, you don't know each other. And so this silent church that we don't want anybody to hear us if we pray, the silent church, well, you know, I have my own relationship with God. Really? Well, I have a relationship with God, and I don't care if somebody hears me pray. I'm hoping you hear me pray. I'm hoping you hear a very loud, intense voice. I hope you hear a voice that has relationship with God. I hope that my prayers get you moving out of your seat. I hope that my prayers change what you're thinking about during the day. I hope that my prayers haunt you if you're doing something wrong until you do it right. And so I got some prayers going on. And I think if people join in those prayers, it becomes that much more powerful. And if you get in one accord, and if you start declaring, what kind of world are we living in? Do we need Christians to sit idly by and just let stuff happen? We need Christians to gather together and say, not in this country. Not on my watch. You're not having my kids. You're not having my church. You're not having my country. And unless we fight for our country, what do you think is going to happen? I just talked to Pastor Randy last night. We were talking about his country. I won't say it out loud, but some of you know. And he goes, I'm not even sure if we're a sheep nation anymore. He said, it all depends on this next election that we're having. He goes, the stuff that is happening and has been put into law is total vileness. It is evil. Well, it's trying to, but it ain't coming here, Duffy. If we pray. But if we sit idly by and we don't utilize the gift that God has given us, and if he's not empowering us with our words, and if we're not saying the words that he wants us to say, and if we don't keep our heart right, and if we don't quit judging others, and if we just say, this is what the Lord says, he's got a call on America, and I'm standing for America. And I don't care who the president is, I am standing for America. Because there is nations that are going to go down and already have, in case you ever wondered what it looks like, just that part you can watch in the news. Oh, my goodness. And then pray. Once you hear it, just pray. In the spirit. If you don't know what else to say, if you can't say anything nice, say it this way. That's nice. And that's powerful. Amen. Because he'll always do it right. Okay. Whew. All right. So it wasn't a one-time experience for special people, was it? Can we have the same experience? Yes. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? Okay, cool. All right. So, it's for those who are far off, even as many as the Lord God would call. So, if you can say yes, he called you and you're a believer, it's for you. Yay, you. Okay. So, proof that it didn't stop there. Let's go to Acts 8:14. This is so cool because you know how Jesus said you're going to go to Judea and Samaria, and they used to argue with the Samaritans all the time. Okay, so now they're going to Samaria again. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, now evangelism has taken place. Somebody has gone there. They have talked about Jesus and they heard the word of God. And so Peter and John went to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them. Why? Why did they come down and pray for them? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. Woo. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that's interesting. So they had been baptized into this to the waters for repentance. So are they saved? Yes. Okay. So then why, in addition to that salvation, did Peter and John have to go down there and pray for them? Yes, because now they need the Holy Spirit. Now they need an additional experience. You get an experience. When you get saved, you are filled with the Spirit. So I'm just saying, don't worry. You have the Spirit of God in you. But they're like, yeah, but now they need the empowerment. Now we got to go down there. We're going to go to the Samaritans because, you know, they've had a hard time. And so we're going to go down there and we're going to lay hands on them. And these Samaritans are now going to be endued with power that they've never experienced before. And they're going to be such a light to other people because they need this. Just like we need him. Okay. And when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Now, some evidence must have showed up from salvation to they received the Holy Spirit. Okay. If you don't know what that was, let's go to Acts 8:18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So he is kind of a dingbat. Okay, so he's just like, what? So he wanted it because he wanted power. But you see, he didn't want the abandonment. He just wanted power to use it for his own good. I mean, that would be a soothsayer. That would be those people that read your gross, don't go do that. It's witchcraft. It's perversion. Don't be reading the, horoscopes. What kind of, open doors. That's all they are, open doors. All right, just saying. Okay, so he offered them money to get it. So he saw something. He saw that there was an expression of it, and he wanted it. Now, go to Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because also the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Well, how do we know that? Because verse 46 said they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's why. Because it was an additional experience. It was an experience where you're going to hear something come out of somebody's voice that never came out before. Where God is going to manifest his presence in a way that no one is going to say, I did that on my own. Okay. Now, about 20 years later, Acts 19. Verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, some believers, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Are they believers? Okay, so they said to him, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, well, then into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism, which is that John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Amen? And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And what happened to them? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Immediately there was an expression of the Holy Spirit showing up. Immediately. You know, When I was growing up, I'm thankful for my heritage, and I'm so thankful I was raised in a Christian home, and I'm thankful that they knew the word, and I'm thankful that they loved the Holy Ghost. And I remember them saying, "You got to tarry. You got to tarry for the Holy Ghost." And I'd be like, "Oh my goodness, how long you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost?" I mean, you know, I mean, Jesus told the disciples to tarry. They were the tarrying ones. I don't need to be. You don't need to be a tarrying. You just need to be a receiver. Because we are under a new and better covenant. That tarrying was so that they could get in one accord, so they could call the Holy Spirit into active duty on the earth through them. And now all we have to do is ask for him, and he will come and dwell within us and change us. And so all of this, well, someday I'll get it stuff, is just stuff that people came up with to make you wait and have an excuse for not praying in the Spirit. So if you want the Holy Spirit, what do you really think? Holy Spirit's going to go, "Oh, you're asking for me, but you need to suffer for the next 90 days before I come." You know, no, that is not... It's not the expression. They had to tarry because they had to get themselves ready to pour it out on everyone else. And then Peter's prophesying, "It's for you and your daughters and everybody." And he said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he said, he's not going to give you a stone. He said, what kind of father do you think you have? He said, when you ask for it, you're going to receive it. It's just whether you're going to ask for it or not. Amen? Okay. Then, so 12 guys, all the men were 12 in all. They were without waiting, without praising, without tarrying. They just got it. Yay. Okay. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:18 says, "I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than all you." Or you all. Sound a little country right there. With tongues more than you all, right? And so he's like, you know, you guys are filled with the Spirit. I know you are, but like, I am pretty sure I pray in tongues more than you. Now, was he just trying to be elitist here? Oh, he's trying to inspire them. He's trying to say, you know how I know? Because I'm walking things out here, and I'm seeing lives changed because of the way I live my life, and I want you to live that way too. And so if you rev up in the Holy Ghost will empower you to do things that you couldn't even imagine you were able to do. And so, you know, that's how people get raised from the dead. That's how... We need it. Look at somebody and say, "You need it." Yeah. Okay. All right. It's an initial supernatural sign or evidence of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and it is for every believer. Period. Okay. Mark 16:17 says it this way: "These signs will accompany those who believe, ... They will speak in new tongues." You know, we're going to do all those other things, but we will speak in new tongues. So we can have it. He's telling us to. It's a new beginning. It is the first seed offering of the Father to fill his children with power from on high. It was never meant to be contained. It was always meant to be utilized. Okay. Now he said... Okay, I have to say that. Okay, John 14:17. "He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So there's the difference. You can know about him, you can be saved, but he's going to be in you, inside of you. Okay, so the thing about this, the Holy Spirit, is that it unleashes, the best way I can explain it in my life, is there's a river. There's a river of God that comes when you have this experience. and you know that it is not you functioning anymore. You know that God has come to literally live and operate on the inside of you. And when you surrender yourself to that, then you become, not only do you get another language that you never learned, it is the Holy Ghost language, but you get overwhelmed by God's love. You get overwhelmed by His presence. You get overwhelmed by His personality, because now the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and you have become a part of who He is counting on to change things in the world. And so now there is a river that is living on the inside of you, keeping you alive for the things of God. It keeps you hungry because there's always more. It keeps you knowing that when I read the word now I know that He's going to direct me. I can open any place in the word and read it, and all of a sudden I go, what? I read that 100 times, but today, Holy Spirit is right there. He's right there. And I have the revelation, another revelation of what He's trying to say. And when you get a revelation of what He's trying to say, you can't wait to tell somebody else. Because it is so fulfilling and exciting to you. You want everybody to know what He just told you because it's so amazing. And you know it didn't have anything to do with you. You know that He's talking. He's revealing. He wrote all of these beautiful words in a love letter to me. But now I know what that means. And so then you just go, wow, you can't believe what God said to me. I have read that so many times. And now I got it. And I know how it applies. And I know what to do with it. And this is so neat. And now I got to go tell someone. And then you tell somebody. And the power of the Holy Ghost is there. And they're like, you are really weird. Could I be like you? Because there's fire on the inside of you. There's a river that came from heaven that's flowing inside of you. And it's overflowing out of you. And it's spilling onto somebody else. And they're like, here I am. Do it to me. And you go, well, I can't do it, but I know who can. So let me introduce you to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, who we will never apologize for, but we will embrace. Why wouldn't we? Okay. Ugh. I love Him. You're so aware of God. All of a sudden you become aware of how He feels about people. You know, we prophesy because we know how He's feeling about the person standing in front of you. You're like, oh, I know what God is saying to you, because you're hearing from the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. This is no longer an outward, inward experience. This is an inward, outward experience. That was really good. And so, when you speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:4 tells us that you edify yourself. You become the Spirit of God on the inside of you. When you're praying in the Spirit, it says He's a house builder. He's constructing you up. He's emboldening you for the work of service. Like, that's why you need to pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. You know, if you're at home, you got nothing else to do, and you're doing your homework, well, pray in the Spirit. You'll be surprised how strong you get. You'll be surprised how your ears pop open, you can hear God's voice. You'll be amazed at who He leads you to and how He leads you. Amen? So when He's in you, He builds you up. And He builds you up in your faith. So you get new faith because you're aware of Him. He knows you. You're conscious of Him. He's going to teach you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to help you remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I told you. So how many words do you think Jesus said to His disciples that we don't know? Right? Not. It says that if everything that He said and did was written, the books in the world couldn't contain them. But see, They were filled containers of Jesus' words, like we're supposed to be. And then when you need it, he reminds you. When whatever is necessary to remember at the time, Holy Spirit just drops it in you. Sometimes I'm so surprised. Like, I read it, but I didn't know I read it. You know what I mean? Like, I read it. Maybe I wasn't tracking that day, whatever. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to somebody, and God brings this obscure scripture out of me, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad it was in there. You know, it's in there when I need it. And the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance. Praise the Lord. Okay. It says, I'm going to go through these quickly. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So there is so much I could preach on that, but he's not going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about the Father. He's going to talk about the expression of the Lord. He's going to talk about the things that you need to know about them at the moment. And he's going to tell you all about what's coming, because he knows we are made in his image and in his likeness. And in so doing, we are visionaries. And he knows he has to keep telling you what the next step is and where you're going to go, because a man without a vision will perish. Okay. Now, we're not going to know everything, because it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that we see through a mirror dimly, and we know in part. So, but if we worship him in spirit and in truth, he'll show up. Okay. And one of my favorite parts is 1 Corinthians 14. It says, he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. I'm talking to God. He's smart. No one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Sometimes I just know when I'm praying and it's in the spirit, I know that there's mysteries out there that are being released. It's the mysteries of God been spoken into the atmosphere. It may not be for me to understand that mystery, but maybe Rhonda needs to know that mystery. And maybe the Holy Spirit dropped that mystery and that answer to her or any of us. So when somebody needs a revelation of the Lord, we are releasing the seed. If we could just see the words of the Spirit being dropped and saturating the atmosphere. And then when somebody needs it, it just drops on them, because we did our part. It is so valuable. He is so valuable. It's so valuable for us to rely on him and move in him. Okay. Oh, gosh. Even in our weakness, we serve an amazing God, and he doesn't say we have to be perfect before we can be utilized by God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, thank God, because none of us would be able to do anything, right? I don't know anybody perfect here. I know people who may think they're perfect. Or we know that we are just as if we never sinned, and that is our righteousness found in Christ and God. But how many of you know we are still in process? We are being sanctified. We are being changed from one thing to another, and we have not reached the ultimate perfection of Jesus Christ, so we can always be changed by the Holy Ghost. But God's just looking at your heart. I said to him, God, I'm really sorry for you that you're coming after a church without spot or wrinkle. I've told some of you this before, and I don't know how that's ever going to happen, because the church is so messed up. I mean, you know, there's so many different doctrines. There's so many people talking about people that such division. I don't know how you ever, like, maybe you're never coming, because if you're coming after a church without spot or wrinkle, we got a long wait. And he said, oh, no. He goes, I count you perfect when you obey me to whatever I've revealed to you to obey me. I go, oh, that's how. If people only are this old in the Lord and they only know this much, as long as they've obeyed him this much, he counts them perfect. So if somebody else knows a whole bunch, you're responsible for responding to that. But he said, you're perfect when you obey me. As long as you're not holding, like, he goes, drop that, stop that. And you go, no, I kind of like that. I'm going to keep that. You're not perfect. But when you go, okay, I'm dropping it right here. I'm never going to do that again. Perfect. In his eyes. That's what I'm going to be. Okay. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't even know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Esther and Bill have a picture in their home, and I'll close with this. They have a picture in their house, and it was a person who was in prison. And he had prayed every prayer he knew to pray. And he couldn't think of any other words to say. And he was Jewish. So the picture is this man on his knees. And the words are written in the Hebrew. And it's just a bunch of mixed up letters. Like it's making no sense. Like if you went there, you couldn't even, if you could read Hebrew, which I can't. But Pastor Bill explained this to me, so I believe him. Is that there's not actual words, but there's just letters of the alphabet in Hebrew just everywhere. And he finally got to the point, he said, I don't know what else to pray. But here's all your letters. You pray. I love that picture. That is the perfect depiction of our trust and confidence in the Holy Spirit and how he is never going to stop praying for us and praying according to God's will concerning us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so we have the Godhead not only on our side, but we have the Godhead living and breathing on the inside of us. But he wants us to have his expression. You can know about him, but you will know him at a different level when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of him taking you over to the point that you receive a heavenly language that you never learned in the natural. What a beautiful way for God to say, I inhabit you. You are no longer your own. So my question for you today is this. Are you hungry? And even if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the expression of praying in tongues, there's always more. I don't even want to present that as though that's the end all. That's the beginning too. That's the new beginning of his expression inside of you. But then, you know, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's fruit of the Spirit. But it's all of the Spirit. And so if we want to live in kindness and goodness and mercy and long-suffering and all of those things, it's a fruit of him expressing himself through us. It's so much more than just having a prayer language. I mean, yay, it builds us up, but it builds us up with purpose so that we can be who other people need us to be, so that we can be the expression of God on the earth, so that we can shift nations, so that we can call things that are not as though they are, so that we can be those people that lay hands on the sick and they recover, so that miracles will be seen because we believe him for it, because we have faith, because we've built ourselves up in that faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit is still alive and he wants to be inside of you with the expression of heaven. And so here's the requirements. Saved. That means you have to repent of your sins. Everybody has sins. Little kids have sins. You know, when you weren't looking. They were eating the cookies. You know, thieves. They were little thieves, you know. Mischievous little things. Because we're born into sin. And until we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the way we live our life and we can't help it. But when someone presents the truth of the gospel, like has been presented here today, there should be a hunger inside of your heart to know him. Every expression of Jesus. And the first expression of Jesus is, you paid for my sins on the cross. How can I ever repay you? I don't want this old sin life. I'm tired of living in the way that I don't have victory. I don't have joy. I don't have freedom. I need it. And so I know, I recognize that I am a sinner, but there is grace available to me through the cross. So if there's anybody here today that hasn't made that decision for Christ, that is your first step. You can't get Holy Spirit and filling you without Jesus first. Jesus is our Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that took us out of darkness and brought us into his light when we confessed him as Lord and Savior. So everybody just close your eyes. Don't be looking around because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you need to know him today, that is your first step. And if you need to know him today, it would be a privilege to pray with you. So that you could settle forever before heaven and earth that you belong to Jesus Christ, that he is forgiving you of your sins, and that you're going to spend eternity with God. So if there's anybody here that needs to say that prayer, I just want you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you. I see that hand. Okay, so let's pray together, church. We're going to send this out to people watching too. Say, Father, I believe that Jesus is your son, that he paid the price for me. My sins can be covered because of his sacrifice. So Jesus, forgive me. I want to be like you. I want you to be my Lord. And I announce you as my Savior. Take all my sins and let your blood cover them. Give me a new start today, and I will serve you all the days of my life. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer and you meant it, you qualify to receive the baptism of Holy Spirit with the expression, the starting expression of speaking in tongues. Now, it is such a beautiful gift that you don't want to miss it. You just don't want to miss it. I hope I have stirred you up for that. So, I have people, how many do we have? Four or five people that are ready to pray with you if you want to receive that gift today. But I want to announce to you that, I mean, the Bible shows that they laid hands on them and they received that gift. And so they did get the expression of speaking in tongues. But I want you to know that you can receive it on your own, just hungry people, just desperate people. My dad received it driving a car. He was like so hungry, but he was just like praying and asking God for it in his car. I'm thankful he had angels that brought him all the rest of the way home, because he was praying in the Spirit and he was so excited he didn't even know how he got home from there. But he just got it in his car. I've prayed for people and the expression came. How many of you know that when you ask, you receive? Now, you can ask, you have to have faith that you receive it. Well, what if I don't pray in the Spirit right away? Well, you will, as long as you don't lose your faith. You asked for it, he gave it to you. So don't be worried about how it sounds. It's going to sound like something, you know, you're not familiar with. I mean, people in this church have been here a long time. They know my language and the spirit, some of them. They know Cindy's language. Cindy knows the language of other people. I don't understand how that all works. But, you know, but I can tell you that God has a variety of stuff. Just when I'm familiar with some of the words that come out of my mouth, he gives me something new. He gives me additional words that I don't care what it sounds like. If it's a groan and it's the Holy Spirit, it's all good. Most people, when they continue to pray in the Spirit, it expands their language just like English. It gets expanded as you talk it. So, Father God, right now, I thank you for this beautiful gift. I thank you, God, for hunger for it. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the expression that you have for each one of us. I thank you that we can just receive you because you're here to fill us up to the overflow. And so I ask that even for those who have received, that they would get an additional dose of fire today. An additional acknowledgement of who you are. Lord, I pray that all the things of our past would be erased, and this is a brand new day with brand new expressions. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the empowerment. I thank you, Lord, that we're never going to accomplish what you've called us to do if we don't get on board with all that you have given to us to utilize. Holy Spirit, you are comforter, friend, and teacher. We need you. We really need you. Now, when we were in worship this morning, I heard Alu say, well, you know, those of you pray in the Spirit, that pray in the Spirit, and I could hardly hear anyone. And I was like, we pray in the Spirit, I hope. So those of us who do pray in the Spirit, I want you to pray in the Spirit. I would like to hear your voices. And those of you who would like to receive this today, there are people in the back that are ready to pray for you. So just, or they'll come get you. How do you want them to do it? Just come. Okay. All right. So, here comes the... Okay. So, all right, let us pray in the Spirit. So, why are we doing this? To exercise our faith, to build the atmosphere, to make it easy for other people. It says, stir yourselves up in the Holy, pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up. Renia karashoti parasare diorato Sandai brati karasho seria takara de obrosha riesu seria ta proti karasho seria ta proser niomro di arasho seria de obroti karasho sa. If you don't have the expression of it, just open your mouth and let God fill it. I mean, he'll just fill you up. Just say, I want the Holy Spirit in fulfillment, and he'll come. Rishi niomro sa ti broti karasare di obroti arasana nombro sho setia riesu seria. It's a gift. It's freely given. Maybe you're embarrassed talking to someone else. Well, then don't talk to him. Talk to him. I praise you, Lord. Father, I release the hunger. I release the desperateness for you, Lord, in this place, Lord. And I thank you. If we asked, you said you wouldn't give us a substitute. You said it would be pure, it would be holy, and we could all have it. So, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come with the expression of Holy Spirit. Father God. You've been asking for God to do something for you, right? Okay, well, all I can say is, this is where you get it. I believe that the waters are stirred. I know that, you know, like the guy who was waiting for an angel to come and take him and put him in the waters. He was waiting and waiting and waiting for someone else to do it for him. God, in his mercy, helped that man. But I believe that the body of Christ is in a situation right now that if we don't go after the things of God, we need to individually be insistent upon getting put into the waters, go into the deep. That no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, no matter what crippling thing that you have in your life that you think is your excuse for not doing it, has to be overcome by you just getting up and getting it. And until you determine that you're going to have what God wants for you, you're not going to have it. I can't make you have it. I can't talk you into it. Listen, I'd be dunking you all root. No. You know, maybe when I baptize you, and no, I won't say that, nobody will get water baptized. Just hold you under a little bit longer. It's time for us to be fierce. It's time for us to be hungry and diligent. And so I'm just going to pray that this week that you're going to have these words that have been spoken come back to you. And if you don't have this beautiful expression of God, you will. And I'm expecting the testimonies of it. On Wednesday night, we can pray for you again. We can pray in the Spirit. If you want a time to pray in the Spirit to get filled with the baptism, we will arrange it. I'm just saying, I don't know. We are not going to live through what Satan is unleashing if you're not filled with the Spirit. How do you like that one? So we need to have the empowerment of God. And we can change things if we do. But without him working through us, some of us will get run over. And so I am beseeching you. That's a good godly Bible word. I am beseeching you to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I promise you that it will help you in every area of your life. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're watching over your word to perform it. I thank you that these words are being encapsulated inside each one that heard these words today. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are after them and after them until they surrender all. And I thank you that I can trust you with them. I thank you that you have shown me mercy. You have given me grace. You have given me the ability to know the empowerment, and I'm so grateful. And Lord, I thank you that it is going to be unleashed in this church at a new level. This is a new season, and I declare it. And I declare it is a season of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Say, I love Jesus more than anything. Say, I want everything that he has for me. And I'm going to stay open to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? And who loves them the most? Okay, go be the light.